have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know and trust that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, reading from the second chapter of Philippians, verses 1 through 13. These are some pretty familiar words in our scriptures. And so, as is often the case, our invitation when we hear familiar words is to listen with new ears. Let us listen for God's word. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in earth and on heaven and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Before beginning the sermon, I do want to take just a moment to recognize and give thanks for all of the women in our community today, those of you who are mothers, as well as those of you who may not be. As we recognize Mother's Day in the wider culture, I just want to recognize you and give thanks for your presence in our community. And I want to also give thanks to Malcolm and Forstein Porter for making these lovely flowers available to all the women in our congregation today. Malcolm, Forstein, thank you very much. Well, today we continue a series of sermons that we started just after Easter. For those of you who have not been worshiping with us, let me give you a brief summary of where we have been. We are basically exploring a paradigm shift in our faith. We're exploring a shift that takes us from predominantly worshiping Jesus to following Jesus. This is a paradigm shift for us, but ironically, it's rooted in the very beginnings of the Christian faith. The Christian faith has its roots in disciples who followed Jesus. But then over the next 300 years or so, following Jesus became believing in Jesus and worshiping Jesus. And we have followed that paradigm predominantly for the next 2,000 years. Now, that's not to say we haven't been following Jesus. That's to say that our dominant paradigm has been one of believing and worshiping rather than doing and living the gospel. This whole series started back before Easter during Lent when we talked about moving from a belief-based faith into a values-based faith. And this basically translates into, are we, as a community of Christ, called to believe in doctrine and dogma, or are we called to follow Jesus and live in a particular way? And as we looked at our scriptures, and as we continue to look at our scriptures, we find that within our scriptures, the predominant paradigm is following Jesus. The emphasis is on how we live here and now, how we treat one another. It's definitely the emphasis of Jesus' life and ministry in the Gospels. And last week, we started to look at some of Paul's letters. We looked at the 12th chapter of Romans, where Paul tells us that our minds need to be transformed in order to live in this new paradigm of love. Now, what we had in the early days of the faith, and these were even in the years when there really was no Christianity, what it was a Jewish sect, a group of Jewish followers of Jesus. And Paul was a part of this. James and Peter and John were a part of this. And there was a tension within this group because Paul, who had never personally met Jesus, had a mystical experience where he encountered Christ. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And he is called to the Gentile community, while Peter and James and John are staying with the Jewish community in Jerusalem. And there's a tremendous tension between these two movements. And in many ways, Paul's writings, his letters, which, by the way, came before the gospel accounts, in his letters, he starts making this shift of belief, much more toward belief in Jesus, rather than following Jesus. And you can understand why, because Paul never actually met Jesus. Paul never heard Jesus teach. Paul didn't live with Jesus and have Jesus model the things that we read about in the Gospels. His encounter with Jesus is much like ours. We get it through other people. Now, of course, Paul heard the stories. He heard the teachings because they come out in his letters. Not as the teachings of Jesus, but Paul teaching the congregations to which he serves. But he has this mystical phrase that he uses over and over and over in his letters. And it is a simple little phrase, and it is in Christ. In the Greek, it's on Christos, E-N-C-R-I-S-T-O-S, on Christos, in Christ. Over and over, he says, you believe in Christ, you live in Christ, you do this in Christ, you do that in Christ. And there's been a lot of study, there's been a lot of curiosity about this little phrase. Was this just a phrase that he used over and over? Or was it something that he really wanted to put across? And a lot of people think that his intentional use of this phrase over and over again was to create a feeling of living within Christ. That to be in Christ is to be like a fish in water, to be like us in air, that it is a predominant way of living. It is our life. And that Christ is the essence of being. Now, the Gospel of John tries to bridge between this mystical in Christos of Paul and the flesh and blood Jesus of the Gospels by talking about the Logos. In the Gospel of John, John talks about Jesus as the Word. And he uses Greek philosophical language to put this across. And this logos is a word that basically means the essence of all being. And when we start to understand Christ as the essence of all being, and that Christ is in Jesus, and Jesus is in Christ, then this prayer that we heard in the 17th chapter of John begins to make a little bit more sense to us. When Jesus says, and this is a prayer, by the way, that whole 17th chapter of John is Jesus praying, and he eventually prays for us. He says, this prayer is not just for my disciples here. This prayer is for all of those who will know me from others. And he says, I pray that people will know, and he's speaking with God, that I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in them, and we are one. Jesus' prayer for us is that we come to this experience of knowing that we live in Christ. We live in the presence of God, just like a fish lives in water. And then the second prayer that we read today is the prayer from Philippians. This is known as the Christ hymn. It was a piece of liturgy in this early community that Paul actually quotes. And he says, you are to have the mind of Christ. And this is the mind of Christ, to empty yourself, to humble yourself, to give of yourself so that you can be filled with God. And notice he talks about Christ, the mind of Christ. This term, Christos, is a term that is used very early by the followers of Jesus. It means the anointed one. It's a term that got used quite regularly during that time to talk about kings and other leaders. Anybody who they claimed was anointed by God, that term was used. But for Jesus, it became something special. He became known as the Christ, this eternal presence of God that has come among us and to show us that we too participate in this eternal mystery. And so, in Christ becomes a state of living. When we believe in Christ, we can take that phrase not as an empirical belief. I believe that there once was a person who we referred to as Christ. But we can take that in Christ as I believe within this state of existence in which I live, which is the presence of Christ. And Jesus himself says in this prayer in the 17th chapter of John, at the very end of the prayer, he says, because this is who I have been from the beginning of time. The presence of Christ is eternal. And what the Gospels show us is how Jesus shows us what this living in Christ means. He calls it the kingdom of God. You are in the kingdom of God. This is a big shift for us. It's a paradigm shift because it brings the gospel home to us. It puts the gospel right here in our lives. It puts the gospel in your life. It puts the gospel in everything we do and say. And I think that's what these passages are talking about when they're talking about transforming our minds. Having the mind of Christ is to make this paradigm shift, this shift of knowing that the kingdom of God is here and now. And we are called to live in it and to participate in it. One mind, one Christ, one God. And we are in Christ. And when we are in Christ, it changes the way we live. It's not an intellectual assent to a doctrine or a dogma. It's the very fabric of our lives, the way we live, the way we treat one another, the way we follow Jesus instead of worshiping Him. Amen. One of my favorite Far Side cartoons is one that I have shared with you before, but it's a cartoon entitled Agnostic Fleas. And the cartoon shows these fleas walking along in a forest of what is obviously big hares. And one flea says to the other, "You know, sometimes I wonder if there really is a dog." That's kind of the way we are as people of faith. Sometimes we wander through this life wondering about God and formulating doctrine and dogma about what we should believe, when all the time we are in the presence of God, and the presence of God is in us. And Jesus tells us this over and over and over. And Paul tells us this over and over. We are in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Jesus says, "I am in you and you are in me and God is in us." And that's what it really means to be in Christ and to follow Jesus. And when we do that, it does transform our lives. It transforms our minds. We begin to have the mind of Christ. So let us go from this place today and just look around and open ourselves to the presence of Christ and be surprised. Amen.